So I want to talk this morning about the faith of God. Everybody say the faith of God. Faith of God. Amen. Did you know that you're created in God's image? I never look at a person's skin and say, oh, well, they have this color skin, they have that color skin. Yeah, they do have that color skin, and when it's summertime, I get a beautiful tan. And I tan right up. But guess what? I believe God is multifaceted. I believe he's every color. He's every nationality. He's all together because he made us all. That's naturally speaking, he made us all, but also spiritually speaking, he made us. And so you're going to have some attributes inside of your life, inside of you, that you're just like God. You know, some people get offended and they say, oh, no, I'm not like God. Yeah, you're his kids. You're one of his kids. And so, sure, some of your actions may not be exactly right in line with God, but guess what? We are created in God's image. And I've got some principles here that we want to talk about, the faith of God. And there's lots. You know, I've been listening to services here at the church for the past 15 years. And, you know, faith never gets old. You know, there's things that I've experienced in years gone by. And they're just as fresh today as ever because spiritual things don't grow old. They stay with you always throughout all eternity. God's going to say, hey, he knows you and you know him, and you met him right here on earth. We don't wait till we get to heaven to say, hey, God, are you going to let me in? No, we know here now. The Bible says this is the confidence that we have in him, that we know that we have eternal life. So over in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, and I want to talk about the faith of God tonight. It says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Everybody say the faith of the Son of God. Amen. So it is by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. It's the very same faith that Jesus had when he walked this earth, the faith of the Son of God. Sometimes we think, you know, if I do such and such, I'm going to be able to get more of God. And you do in a certain aspect. But guess what? It's God who's given you that faith. And it's so wonderful that he's the one that placed it inside of us. And it says, without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. But you have the same kind of faith that Jesus had when he walked. Jesus was the greatest faith man that ever walked the face of the earth. When he left heaven's glory, he gave all of his power up and he came down as a little bitty naked baby. Hey, have you ever seen a little baby? I've seen them when they came right out of there because I've got four kids. And man, that's nasty. But anyways, one of the cutest stories was Luke. You know, Luke came out, he was all squashed. His head was like a football. And I looked at him and I thought, wow, he's all slimy. And it's amazing. The nurses took him and they put him in the incubator. And I thought, man, that kid is squashed. So I called my dad and I said, Dad, I got a boy. And we named him Luke, but his head is squashed. He says, oh, that's okay. It'll pop out. So, and sure enough, it did pop out. But God, later on, after seeing Cindy and they're working on her, fixing her up, I walk over to the incubator there and go down the hall. And immediately when I looked into that little incubator and I saw that Luke, oh, man. I melted in a million pieces. I couldn't believe how helpless this little kid is. His eyes are the exact same eyes he has now. And of course, I love you, Joe, too. But Luke was there like this, and he was looking up, and he looked so helpless that I thought this kid ain't gonna make it if someone don't take care of him. He was in rough shape, and he was looking there, and my heart just melted, and I just actually bawled, and I looked at that little kid, and I thought, oh, man, he was so sweet. And that's it is with God, hey? When he looks at us, he says, oh, you ain't going to make it without me. You need me. And his eyes of love are on you, and he loves you, and he died for you, and that's the kind of love that we have, amen? And that's inside of us. When we accepted Christ, that love came inside of us. The same kind of love that God has for his children. To die on the cross of Calvary. I love those kids so much. I said to myself, you know, my life is not worth very much. when I realized that I gave my life to Christ, and I said, I would die for those kids. I see how Jesus did that. He literally hung on a cross for you and me. He gave up his life for his kids. Now, I guess if you've got a lot going for you, you may not want to give up your life. But when I didn't have much going for me, I said, oh, man, that's beautiful. And that's the kind of God we serve. Jesus gave it up. So Jesus was a great faith man. He walked, he talked. When he was 12 years old, he wanted to be about his father's business. And we're talking about the faith of God tonight. And it says here, I live by faith of the Son of God. The same kind of faith Jesus has, we got. And he put it right inside of us. So don't think, oh, your faith is just little puny faith. No, your faith is the faith of the Son of God, who loved you and gave himself. I'm crucified with Christ. The old man's dead. Nevertheless, I'm still alive. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Over in Mark chapter 11, verse 22, Jesus said unto them, have faith in God, or have the God kind of faith. You know, he spoke to a fig tree, and that fig tree died up. And then he went into the temple, and then he came out of the temple, and his disciples saw that fig tree, and they said, hey, this thing's all dried up at the roots. How's that possible? And Jesus said, have faith in God, or have the God kind of faith. Because that's possible for you, and that's possible for me to have the God kind of faith. And we should be able to rule and reign. Now, we're not going to rule and reign one another, because that would be dictatorship. But we're going to rule and reign against evil spirits, devils, demons, those harassing spirits that want to harass you. You have authority over those guys, eh? You got authority over evil thoughts that come to you. Anything that comes to your mind that brings doubt, or worry or anxiety, guess what? That doesn't come from God. My God always talks about peace. Amen? Peace like a river. Peace and joy. That's my God. What, when we get to heaven, are we all going to be bawling? No, he said that he's going to wipe away every tear. Amen? And sorrow. He said, in my presence is fullness of joy. Not just a little bit of joy. And the Bible says that Jesus was anointed with the oil of gladness. That means Jesus was, woohoo! He was clicking his heels together. He was happy. Amen? We look at Jesus sometimes in our mind, our natural human mind, and we say, oh, he must have been a sad, you know, he's all depressed. He ain't depressed at all, man. He got excited when he saw little children and younger people get the knowledge of God. He was excited. He said, woohoo! He rejoiced in the Spirit. He was happy. Why? Because people came to the knowledge of God. He says, the rich people, those that think they can make it on their own without God, he said, they're left behind. It's the poor people. Amen. Doesn't mean that everybody has to be poor. No, he's talking about those that realize that they need help. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal brokenhearted. He sent me to preach deliverance to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. You're talking about a beat up bunch of people. And he doesn't leave them in that state. He wants to mend them, amen, and make them every whit whole. Praise God. And he wants us to be able to have that faith that we know that, hey, we're confident in our God. We know God. How many of you know God? You should be able to say, I know God. I've got a personal relationship with God Almighty, the creator of the universe. Woo! Amen. What are you going to fear? Before I was born again, I feared. And I really got scared when I had to walk once 7 miles through the bush. I said, I'm really scared. Something's going to happen. I'm going to get ate. Somebody's going to eat me. An animal's going to kill me. But then when Christ came into my heart, all of a sudden all fears are whoop, out the back door. Now we don't have to fear because we got God on the inside of us, the creator of the universe. If someone messes with you, guess what? They're messing with God Almighty. Someone messes with you, Chris, guess what? You got Christ in your heart, they're messing with God Almighty. And that's why it says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I'll repay. And he doesn't want to hurt people anyways. He loves every drunk. He wants them delivered. He loves every stoner. He wants them delivered. Amen. He loves every perverted person. He wants them free. Hallelujah, because he whom the Son sets free is free indeed. So with the faith of God, you have to understand that he is in you. Everybody say, he's in me. He's in me. Amen. 1 John 2, verse 27, if we can put that up on the screen. Know that he's in you. And when you accepted Christ in you, you got that anointing on the inside of you. Amen. Keith Moore made up a song. He said, something on the inside, working on the outside. Oh, what a change in my life. Woo! It's something on the inside, hey? Working on the outside. And when I got saved, I looked and I thought I was so changed on the outside. Someone took a picture of me and I said, that guy looks the same as the old man he used to look. Because your outside didn't change. It'll change in time. Amen. You'll get a smile. Amen. Your skin will be a little more shinier when you start smiling in the things of God. Hallelujah. And it'll change in time. It'll change. But it works on the inside first. Brother Hagin says, if you want something from God, you always got to get it on the inside. If you want healing, it's got to be on the inside first in your spirit. So 1 John 2, verse 27, but the anointing, everybody say the anointing. See, the anointing which you have received of him abides in you. See, God's on the inside. The anointing of God's on the inside, abiding in you, that you need not any man teach you. But he put teachers in the church, of course. He gave pastor and he gave ministry gifts. Yeah, he's given them. But he's just saying that the Holy Ghost is the great teacher on the inside. And sometimes if you hear false doctrine or wrong doctrine, it'll say on the inside, that's not quite right. Something's not quite right. Why? Because the Holy Ghost is on the inside of you. Amen? He's teaching you. He's leading you. He's guiding you. He's directing you. But you need not that any man teach you, but the same anointing teach you all things that is truth and is no lie. Even as it is taught you, you shall abide in him. So on the inside, that anointing which you have received abides in you. Everybody say, he's in me. Amen. And if you understand that he's in you, guess what? There's some things that you're going to start doing a little bit different. Amen? I find it hard to sin when I know God's on the inside of me, hey? He's looking out my eyes. He's listening with my ears, amen? He sees where my feet go. Oh, well, I can't go over there. I'd like to go over there, amen? And, you know, there's Joe here, but they legalize some stuff nowadays, eh? Well, my natural man would say, wow, that's awesome. But my spirit man will say, you know, that's not good. That's not good. Why? Because I'm going to get high on the Holy Ghost. Amen? I'm going to be high on the Holy Ghost because God's on the inside of me. Amen? And that's the best high. I've never found anything better. Amen? I tried a few of the other substances. They only last a few hours. One lasted 4 hours once. And that was it. And the rest is, it's hopeless. But God, he lasts forever. Amen? He's here right now with us. But then when we leave this place, he's with us too. Amen? He'll go in our vehicles. He'll go to our homes. He'll go to work with us. He'll go everywhere with us. So he's on the inside. But the anointing which abides in you is inside of you. And so that's going to be always with you. And that's for your character building, for him talking to you and making you all that God desires for you to be. Amen? You got that forever. That's why when a person gets born again, they say, I know something happened to me. I know something happened to me. What happened? I don't know, but something happened. Well, you got saved is what you happened to you. You got born again. You became a new creation in Christ Jesus. And on the inside, you're new. Amen? You're new. The old man is passed away, and behold, all things have become new. So on the inside. And then later on, there'll be times when Acts chapter 1, verse 8 says, you shall receive power, ability. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And then he'll come upon you for things. Amen? Doesn't that sound exciting? He'll come upon you to be a witness. Amen? You want to testify to somebody, he'll come upon you for that. Amen? He'll come upon you at different times of your life. But that anointing is always in you. You'll always have that anointing on the inside because he is in there. So if you're going to have the God kind of faith, you got to know that God is in you. 1 Corinthians 6:19. What, know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you? Everybody say, he's in me. He's in there. Hallelujah. I don't know. I'm not in the army, amen, but I'm in the army of God. Hallelujah. But he's in there. What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you're not your own. Right there, he's on the inside of me. He's made his home in there. He dwells in me. He's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, all inside there. Amen. And there's one scripture in the New Testament that says, if you obey his word and you obey his principles, then he will come and make his home in there. Imagine him bringing all his stuff in, eh? Bringing all his baggage, bringing in his stuff. I like God's stuff. Amen. It's all good stuff. Amen. He's got the peace and he's got joy. Amen. He's got all the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, humility, self-control. Amen. Self-control so you don't punch anybody. Pop. Hey, you may want to punch somebody, but the self-control says, nope, put that fist down. Okay. Amen. You got long-suffering. When he cuts you, somebody cuts you off. Or maybe you cut somebody off, and you got the bird. Amen. Someone gave you the bird, and then you say, oh, and then something rises up. How many ever felt your temperature rising, hey? Yes, we've all sensed it at different times. But I thank God for that time when the temperature went down. Amen. Hallelujah. Woo. Glory be to God. Amen. I just think about those times in the world. You know, the world only has a few hours of glory time. It's usually about from, you know, 7, maybe 8, 9, 10. You got a few hours there where that's when they start roaming, eh? They put on their lipstick, eh, and put their stuff on. And they get their three-hour window of time, and they're going out into the town. Woo! But guess what? Once those 3 hours are done, that's it. Your party's over. Time to go back home. But with God, he's always here. Amen? His window of opportunity is always 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. Amen? I got 30 years sobriety. Hallelujah with Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory. Amen? As a new creature. Amen? Thank you, Jesus. What know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you're not your own, but you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which is his. Also in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8, it says, don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. Amen? Just filled with the Spirit. You, God's on the inside, and you can get more of him as you continually fellowship with him, talk with him. Say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you that you're my Savior, my Lord. Don't talk negative. Don't say, I can hear the voice of God. You know, I don't know what to do. Yeah, you may feel that way, and you could talk to him once like that, or twice, or a few times, but not like a thousands of thousands of times. What am I going to do? What am I going to do? No, he knows what you're to do. He's told you what to do. Just go ahead and do it. Amen? Because he's leading, he's guiding you, and he's directing you. Jesus was full of the Holy Ghost in Luke chapter 4 and verse 1. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led in the wilderness. So Jesus was full of the Holy Spirit. And then guess what? Temptations, trials, tests came his way. Everything possible. And imagine all the fame and fortune placed upon him. Satan says, if you bow down, isn't that a maggot? That's a good word for him. A maggot. Satan, a maggot. Hey, he comes and tempts Jesus. He says, bow down before me. Why does Satan want people to bow down before him? Because he got kicked out of heaven. He doesn't have a home. His home is hell. And that's where he'll spend all eternity. But he wants to take as many people as possible. But guess what? God wants to take as many people as possible as well. But Satan wants Jesus to bow down before him. And Jesus says, it is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Amen. And then he said, command these stones to be made bread if you're the Son of God. No, he said, I'm not going to do it. Everything that Satan said, Jesus said, no, it is written. He had something else to say about the matter. And then the Bible says that Satan left him for a season. Woo! Guess what? He's only got so much ammo. And then he had to leave. Why? Because the Word of God is as sharp as a two-edged sword. So every time you hack away at him, every time you deal with him, you're hacking away at him. And the Bible says about Jesus that Satan left him for a season. Why? Because he couldn't do nothing to overcome him. That's a good place to be. Amen? When Satan comes and he said, I can't do a thing with that girl. I can't do a thing with that guy. They're just too wrapped up. I like Job. There's a hedge of protection around him. There's a hedge of protection around him. There's a hedge of protection around you. Amen? That's why you're still alive. That's why you're still here. Because there's a hedge of protection around you. Thank you, Jesus. And even if you're a believer and you die, enjoy your time. Amen? To live is Christ, to die is gain. I would be happy just to leave right at this very second, and it wouldn't bother me one bit at all. Amen? Because I know I got a mansion, amen, in heaven. I got saints that have gone on before. I've got their grandma there and my dad. Hopefully he made it in by the skin of his teeth. And there's other people, amen? And so it'll be a great time. And it'll be a totally awesome time. But I don't want to go yet. Why? Because we should be able to be a blessing the best we know how here on earth, amen? And to influence people as much as possible. I asked the fellow to come to church today. I didn't notice him here, but I worked with him when I was 20 years old. I happened to be coming out of the store the other day to get my health card renewed, which lineup was too big, so I didn't do it. So I just said, I'm walking out. I'll come later. And I'm walking out, and here I looked at this guy right in the face. I talked to him when I was 21, 22 years old. His name's Greg. He's from this city. Greg Nachuk. But I remember him as a 20-year-old guy, and I was in my 20s. And I remember, and I said, hey, you're Greg. He said, how do you know me? And I said this. I told him all the stuff about him because I remembered him. I said, you had this kind of car, a Nissan 300. You loved it, and you did this, you did this, you did this. Because I talked to him lots. He said, I do not remember you at all. Isn't that something? So don't think, if you think you're worried about people thinking about you in the wrong way, don't worry. They don't think about you. So don't worry. Just be all you can for God because they can't remember you and they don't want to remember you. Anyways, but I talked to him several times. I said, you don't remember me? I'm Kenny. You called me Kenny. I saw your legs. He was running around and he actually got hurt. There was some concrete ties. We're on a big machine and he got squashed. And so he had to get his spleen removed. I told him all that. He said, that's all right. That's all right. But I do not remember you. I said, okay. So anyways, I told him about the church, and we're supposed to have coffee sometime so I could tell about how great he is because he don't remember me. So anyways, but that's something, hey? And God wants us to be a blessing to people here on the earth. So Jesus, when he was tested and tried, guess what? He came out through victorious. And then the Bible says he had the power of the Spirit. Amen. You shall receive power. Hallelujah. Every time you beat the devil, you got power. Amen. Every time you're tested and tried and you overcome, you don't lose it. And even if you do lose it, just say, Lord, forgive me for that. I shouldn't have said that. That was wrong. And he cleanses you from all unrighteousness. But every time you deal with the devil and you come out and you have power. Amen. People with power, Christians with power, are the ones that overcome the devil. Amen? They overcome the devil. When they want to do something contrary to what God's word says, no. And when they conquer him, they have power. Amen? And Jesus came back in the power of the Spirit. And fame went throughout that whole land. Why? Because he dealt with the devil. Amen? The devil's dirty deeds done dirt cheap, he did them away. Amen? Praise God. And so, number one, when it comes to having the faith of God, you got to know that he is inside of you. Everybody say he's in there. Amen. The Holy Ghost is in there, the anointing which abides in you. So know that you're safe and secure. When you're born again, he's in there. Hallelujah. And don't, what do you think? He's just a hitchhiker? He's just, you know, can he give me a little ride? No. Hallelujah. He's there to equip you, to empower you. Hallelujah, to know that he'll never leave you nor forsake you. My best times are with the Lord. Amen. But I've learned something, that when people are in unity and in agreement and in harmony, the corporate anointing is greater than the individual anointing. Amen? That's why church is important. And it's great. Amen? Because people, that anointing, everybody believing together. So number one, know that he's in you. Number two, don't speak doubt. Everybody say, don't speak doubt. So when you want to, just don't do it. Mark 11:23, it says, verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be removed and be cast in the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart. You got to not doubt in your heart, or you're going to do without. Don't let it be there. Amen? Deal with it quickly. When a thought comes or something comes to your heart, no, I'm going to release that. Maybe an animosity or a bitterness comes. You say, no, I'm not going to let that stay in there. I'm a free man. Amen. He whom the Son sets free is free indeed. I'm not going to walk in that bitterness. Amen. I'm not going to walk in jealousy. I'm not going to walk in anything that's contrary to God. You got to know, you got to speak that positive word. So don't talk doubt. Thomas was a doubting Thomas, that he got his name, but I'm sure he's doing okay now in heaven. Amen. He just got to have that label there. But John 20:24, it says, and Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. And the other disciples said unto them, we seen the Lord, Jesus risen from the dead. But he said unto them, except I see in his hands the print of the nails. He saw the big Roman spikes. Apparently it's the size of a finger, went into Jesus' hands. And except I see in his hands the print of his nails, and put my finger in the print of the nails, and thrust my hand in his side. The Roman pierced his side, and big gash in his side, and out came blood and water, and poured out into the ground. And the other guys got their legs broke, the other two people, but they saw that Jesus was already dead, so they pierced him with a big spear and had a big gash in his side. And Thomas says, unless I put my finger in the print of the nails and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. So Thomas is totally gone by what he thinks, amen, and what he wants to see and what he wants to feel. If you just go by your feelings, you'll be fickle. Feelings are fickle. Absolutely fickle. Amen. You walk in love, hallelujah, that'll overcome everything. Amen. But feelings are fickle. They come and they go. Feelings, feelings, feelings. And I thank God for good feelings. And I love to eat something good, like a nice steak. Hey, it's delicious. But hey, that's not all there is to it. Just because you're going to go by just how it looks and how it feels and how it tastes and all that. No, with God, it's totally walking with your spirit, walking with your heart on the inside. Thomas said, unless I see those hands that I saw, the big nails go through them and thrust my hand inside, I will not believe. So he's a cocky guy, that Thomas, eh? And the Bible says 8 days. So Thomas was Mr. Cool, eh? He's, I will not believe unless, you know, I see his hands and I put my hand and thrust it in his side. I will not believe. And he did that for 8 days, that cocky guy, Thomas. Hey, I got to see it. I got to see it. I got to feel it. But then all of a sudden, Jesus appears in the room with them after 8 days. And he immediately goes to Thomas, John 20:26-29. And after 8 days, again, the disciples were within, inside, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the door shut, and stood in the midst. So what did he do? He went right through the wall. That's our Jesus, resurrection power, resurrection body. Amen? Going right through a wall. Woo, I like that, hey? How would you like to go through some walls? Hallelujah, and all things are possible with God. The Bible says about Philip that he baptized somebody and then all of a sudden the Spirit took him up and he was found in Azotus. John G. Lake, a modern day apostle of faith, he said that he flew through the air when he went to Africa or whatever and saw places, he saw things. Isn't that amazing? For with God all things are possible. Amen? So it's possible. It's possible, because all things are possible. And it says here, and after 8 days, the disciples were within, Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. Again, he always brings peace. He never comes and tries to scare you. He never does that. He always brings peace. Amen? You're all stressed out and worried. He come and sit beside you, and it's peace like a river. Amen? Peace like a river. That's our Jesus. He says he's the Prince of Peace. Amen. And if you lose your peace, you better get back with the Master. Amen. You better know that he's on the inside of you and say, I don't want to lose my peace. I don't want to lose my joy. He's in there and that's where he belongs. Hallelujah. And I'm not going to be fretful or worrisome. And so Thomas, it says here that Jesus said, peace be unto you all. Then he said unto Thomas, first guy, amen. First guy he picks out is Thomas. Why? How come he couldn't think of something else? Why? Because he's always looking for faith. The Bible says when he comes back to the earth, will he find faith? Yeah, he's going to find some right here in this guy right here. Hey, eh? He's going to find it right here. How about you? Is he going to find any in your house? If he goes to your house, is he going to see some faith? Amen. Is he going to see the good old B-I-B-L-E? Dust it off. Amen. Amen. Maybe there's a few underlines in there. Is he going to find some faith? Is he going to find you praying, talking to God, fellowshipping with God? Is he going to find some faith? Is he going to find you walking in love? Is he going to find some faith? Amen. Is he going to see you vacuuming the church? Hey, amen. Cleaning up, doing things. Is he going to see Kendra behind the desk there doing that paperwork, shuffling papers all over the place, doing all kinds of administration stuff? The Bible says, will he find faith? Amen. Will he find faith? He's going to find it. He's going to find it right here. He's going to find it in me. Why? Because without faith, it is impossible to please him. Amen? So I'll do anything possible. The Bible says, build yourself on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. There, he's just sounding some faith right there. And the natural mind will say, you're not making no sense. You're not making no sense. You're not making no sense. And I say, no, I'm building myself up on my most holy faith. I'm praying out mysteries with my Father. I'm praying out secrets with God. I'm praying for the sister so-and-so. I'm praying for Brother Doodle. Amen. Will he find faith? So he said to Thomas, and then he said, peace. Then he said to Thomas, reach hither your finger. What, Jesus? How did you know? How did you know I said that? Oh, I love Jesus, hey? Humans, most could be liars just to face the facts, okay? But Jesus, he's not a liar, and with him, you can't get away. I think with Abraham and his wife, she's in the back, and God's talking to Abraham. She's going to have a baby, and she's like, and then God says, why does she laugh? And she runs out, oh, I didn't laugh. Yes, you did. No, I didn't laugh. You laughed. I know. I'm God, eh? He knows that. He knows all things. Amen? So you just might as well be truthful with him. You just might as well be as truthful as possible. Hey, you come to him naked, so to speak, and helpless and hopeless and say, dear God, thank you for your word. And I'm trusting in you. I love you with every fiber of my being. Every ounce of me loves you, Jesus, Lord Jesus. Hey, give him the titles. Give him Lord. That means he's commander. There's no one greater. Jesus, hey, everybody knows that name. Christ, he's the Lord Jesus Christ. So he says to Thomas, reach further thy hand and put your finger in my hands and reach hither thy hand and thrust it in my side and be not faithless, but believing. Here, Thomas came right from the Master, and the Master said unto him, don't be faithless, but believing. So that's what he wants for every one of us, to believe, amen? To not speak doubt, but to speak faith. Hallelujah. And then Thomas answered and said, my Lord and my God, Jesus. And Jesus said, Thomas, because you see me, you believe. But blessed are those that have not seen and yet believe. Now, don't get out of control there and say, oh, I'm never going to see. No, you want to see your answers to your prayer. Amen? You want to see. I want to see my answers to my prayer. Amen? So, yeah, there's a time where you don't see, but then there's a time where you do see, okay? So don't think that you got to walk through life. I never see nothing. I never see nothing. No, I see lots. Amen? I see answers to prayer. Hallelujah. And that makes me happy. Answers to prayer will make you happy. Imagine you desired something, wanted something, and it came to pass. Woo! Your big smile would come up on both sides of your face. You're happy. Why? Because you got the answer. Amen? And that's what God wants, the answer. That's when he's happy. He's the most happiest when you got your prayer answered. You prayed, you believed, hallelujah, and he came through just for you, amen, because you took those principles and said, I believe and I'm not going to doubt, hallelujah. So blessed are those that have not seen, but you're only going to see, not see for a little bit. There'll be a day when I'll see the gold streets. Didn't see them yet, but there'll be a day when I'll see the gold streets, the gold curbs, all the trees, the flowers, the saints of old, the mansions, eh? They got some big ones here. No, nothing compared to that. Amen? Those are big. Those are really big. So if you're scared of a big house now, no, you want to get, they're bigger there, eh? They're real big. They're mansions. Hallelujah. And I've got about 5 books on people that saw heaven. Everything's perfect. Hallelujah. Absolute perfection. You sit on a chair and the chair just hugs you. Ooh, it's so comfy. Hey, it's beautiful. One person were watching them build that mansion. They took a bunch of roses and they just threw them on the wall. And it was encased in glass, these beautiful roses. Amen. Mansions, every desire, every possible desire that you have in your mansion. Hallelujah, because that's the kind of God we serve. Hallelujah. So faith don't speak doubt, but faith will speak positive, eh? We have to speak faith. Know that God's in us. Know that we don't speak doubt, but we speak faith. And Jesus said unto it, when he said, let us go over to the other side, Mark 4 and verse 35. He said, let us go over to the other side. So that's Jesus' words. He's like you. He's like me. He says to his disciples, let's go over to the other side. So they all get in their little boat. Or it's a big boat. I don't know what it is. I never got to know how big that boat was. But anyways, they were on that boat. So that's his word. So when Jesus says something, he means it. And then he went to sleep. How many of you know the story? Hey, he went to sleep on a pillow. He went to sleep on the pillow. And then all of a sudden a storm arises. When you start believing God, the storms arise. And I find out that the more stronger the storm, then the breakthrough is just about there. But he wants you to quit. Satan wants you to quit before you get the promises and the answers to your prayers. He wants you to quit. And so if you quit, you don't get the prize at the fair. You quit. You should have kept throwing the rings. But you don't get the prize. You don't get the prize. So don't quit. Keep believing. Keep believing. I think of Keith Moore and his car. He wanted a car. And so he said, God, I'm going to give you up to this time. 12 o'clock, such and such a day. And he's believing. You know, everybody's happy when they're believing. Ooh. And then it comes to 12 o'clock. Ooh. And then it's 12:01. You know, and he's sad. And God says, why are you looking at that thing that has hands and thinking that that's where your faith is at in that clock? He said, oh, I can pick it back up. So he picked it back up. And then he got a beautiful car. Amen? A beautiful brand new car someone gave him. Bless God, eh? It was a Riviera, 1978. But anyways, it's a pile of junk now. But anyways, but he got a brand new car. Why? Because he picked it back up. So don't leave those things. When God says something to you, hold fast unto it. Amen? You want a house? Believe God, huh? Believe God that all things are possible. Amen? He wants you to have a house. If you want a house, you want an apartment? Have an apartment. Amen? You want one? Have one. Amen? But don't say that God don't want you to have anything else. That would be a lie. Because he wants you to, and every single person, if you want to be married. If you don't want to be married, that's fine. But if you're single and want to be, then that's God's will, amen, in your life. Hallelujah. He doesn't put desires in your heart just to see you suffer. No. My mom, she specifically said, I'm not marrying anybody else. I married John, that's it. I said, wow, that's quite a woman. But that's her, eh? Most people, hey, come on, guys. Come on, girls. They'll get married more than once, but her, in her mind and her understanding, that's it. She's done. She married one guy for 50-some years or whatever. That's it. So that's what she desires. But each person is different. Amen? The Bible says, I don't know why I'm talking about marriage, but anyways, the Bible says, whatever's, you're going to serve the Lord better. Amen? If it helps you to be married, then go ahead and marry Doodly D or Sister Do. Amen? Or the other way around. It's whatever you serve the Lord better. Amen? If you're single and all you're thinking about is, you're like an old wildcat prowling around, well, then maybe you should get married. Amen? It's whatever you can serve the Lord better with. Amen? If you could serve him better being married, then get married. You can serve him better being single, then be single. Amen? It's whatever you do concerning, but that's between you and God, and it's not between me at all. I have nothing to do with it. I got married when I was 30. I wanted to be married when I was 20. To me, it was way too long, but I probably would have been a mess, an emotional mess. So anyways, it's working out. Hallelujah. 27 years. Okay, and the same, so Jesus said, let us pass over to the other side. And so he went to sleep on the pillow. And then they woke him with such fervency that they said, we're going to die, we're going to die. And Jesus got up and he said unto them in Mark 4:40, he said unto them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? They didn't have any faith at all when they were all twisted and bent out of shape when Jesus said, let's go over to the other side. So when God gives you a word, that's your word. Amen. I like people that are preachers and pastors. Oh, God called me to pastor. Oh, man, that's good. Hallelujah. You should be thankful. God called me to the mission field. Good. There's the bus or the airplane. Fly over there. Amen. I just heard from Talit, and he's going to North Africa. Bless his heart. Let him go. Hallelujah. He can go over there. North Africa. You got to have faith to walk there. You might end up with a knife in your back. Eh? But he's been doing it for years, so he survived that long. So hopefully he keeps going. Eh? But whatever God told you to do, God wants you in business, hey, go ahead and start selling those cookies. Or open that restaurant or whatever, what God said to you. Hallelujah. He's faithful. He's faithful. So how is it that you have no faith? And over in Acts chapter 6 and verse 8, and we'll close with this. So the God kind of faith, you have to understand that he is in you. God is in you. The God kind of faith does not talk doubt. Now, you want to sometimes talk doubt, and there's a time where you can maybe talk with somebody, maybe once, maybe a couple of times, and then you got to leave it. You can't go back and rehash it over and over and over. And then also the God kind of faith, it speaks faith. It talks positive. Now, this guy, Stephen, Acts chapter 6 and verse 8, it says, Stephen was full of faith. Everybody say, Stephen was full of faith. Now, these are seven guys that were chosen in the church to do menial tasks. They had to take care of some food distribution program. Amen. And we don't have that. They have it down the street. But they have a food distribution program. And so they chose seven men. They said the apostles shouldn't be going and delivering all this food and everything. Let's find seven guys. They have to have some wisdom. They got to be full of the Holy Ghost that we can put into this business. And so they got the seven guys and they prayed for them. And then they all went about there doing their tasks. But there was one guy by the name of Stephen in Acts 6, verse 8. It says Stephen was full of faith and power, and did great wonders and miracles among the people. Everybody say wonders and miracles. So he was chosen just for some menial tasks to distribute some food. But here God used them. Amen. Stephen was full of faith. Amen. We're talking about faith. Stephen was full of faith. And he was full of power. And did great signs and wonders and miracles. Hallelujah. So that could be you and that could be me. Amen. Very natural people can help out, but you could be so full of faith, you could be so full of power that God could use you in other areas as well. Amen. So let's all stand and thank God for the God kind of faith, for the faith of God. Hallelujah. And know that he's in you. So Father, we want to thank you in the name of Jesus that you're in us. Everybody, let's thank God. Thank you, Jesus, that you're inside of us. Thank you, Holy Spirit, you're in us. Oh, paradamase taradamasiki. Vespondo kundanki stangalamanka seke tavraki tekrasiki tekere shtekere. Ezamakatsakarasa. Thank you, Lord, that we are overcomers. The Bible says they overcame him. Who? The world, the flesh, and the devil. By the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives even unto death. Their testimony was given in faith. Hallelujah. They spoke it out in faith. Oh, paramasekera namasa. Father, we love you tonight. And we say thank you for your spirit that speaks unto us. With that God kind of faith on the inside that you made us. We didn't make ourselves. We didn't even ask to be born like so many young people say. Did I ask to be born? No, we didn't. But we were born. Hallelujah. And then we got born again. Thank you. And now we're your children. John chapter 1 verse 12 says, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become sons of God, even to them that believe in his name. And so we want to thank you. Thank you for being our very own father. We're your very own child. Everybody say, God cares for me. God loves me. Amen. God blesses me. Thank you, Jesus, for helping us. Hallelujah. And having that strong relationship, that our relationship with you is intact. Hallelujah. There's no rifts between you and me. Hallelujah. It's peace, it's joy, it's rest, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Oh, Masebeta, you're in us, hallelujah. And we bless you, Jesus. Oh, Taramasandereveke Sekeramasa. Yes, we fill ourselves up, hallelujah, with the Spirit of God. We say, fill us up, tank us up. We drink of the Spirit of God. Thank you for the manifestations of the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Divers kinds of tongues, interpretation of tongues and prophecy. Word of wisdom, word of knowledge, discerning of spirits, miracles, gifts of healings. Thank you, Father. O parama senderabasa, and special faith, for with God all things are possible. Use us. Use each one here, hallelujah, for your glory and for your honor. Semburama shtembarama separama kasikerabasa. For if God is for you, who can be against you? Shall doubt and unbelief, shall sickness and disease be against you? No. He whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Thank you, Jesus. Said parama katakra. Eva sembokuba kishtanga rangesi. Ve semongu mangamagidevasa. E semarama seda rabaseda basigere basigere bakasa. Everybody say, greater is he that is in me than he that is in this world. Thank you, Lord God, for your presence that surrounds us and is inside of us. And we just love you tonight in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Well, God bless you. You have a wonderful Wednesday night, wherever you may go. Amen. God bless you.